Transparency, what's your story? This podcast talks to those who have been through, went through, and are able to discuss life, loss, and happiness through transparent moments in their lives. From all walks of life, I discuss the triumphs, tribulations, and this thing we call life. I'm your host, Mr. John. I'm a father, life coach, singer-songwriter, motivational speaker, but more importantly, I'm happy you stopped by to take a listen. Hey, party people, this is Mr. John. Welcome to Transparency. This week, we're going to get into the Netflix sensation, Tidy Things, what impact it had on me. We're also going to get a transparent moment from OCR racer, Miss Rachel Munoz. Stay tuned. Thank you all for stopping by. So greatly appreciate it. I'm happy you guys are enjoying the podcast. It is my pleasure and privilege to be able to bring you some stories that have been on my heart for a while. More importantly, to inspire and more importantly, push you to your next level. If you've not picked up my book, Transparency, 12 Weeks to the New You, it is on Amazon. As well as, if you like interesting stories and articles about health, mental health, physical health, personal training, needing some extra oomph to get you through the day, stop by the AliveExperienceOnline.com. It is a link in my bio. I have over 500 articles about health and fitness, about what you can do. More importantly, if you've not seen the podcast, make your way over there and check out Transparency, What's Your Story. Also, I know some of you all know we do have a telephone number. That's right. If you want to call in and tell me your story, I would really love to hear it. That number is 818-660-5374. Again, 818-660-5374. Thank you guys for your time, and as always, be well. All right, y'all, I got something to talk about. I have now gotten myself hooked on this show called Tidy Things Up with Marie Kondo. It's on Netflix. And this little woman here, I mean, I get the method. I get it. I do. I get it. You look, if you got too much stuff, you go get rid of it. And you keep, if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. I believe that in life. I think, yeah, I'm not going to go off on a tangent on that. But this show here, I get the concept. I don't know why they decided, though, to have her wear a white shirt or bright shirt in most episodes. And the subtitles that you're trying to read, you can't really read because she has the white shirt on. You can't. So you're like having to literally be up on the TV screen to make out what she says. Don't think the producers really thought that thing through all the way. Secondly, if you've noticed, a lot of the stuff that they have after they say, you know, throw stuff out, a lot of them buy new boxes and new containers for storage. I think what's interesting is, and I have a feeling it's because they did not get, you know, sponsorship before they did the show. They could have easily, you know, said, hey, IKEA, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, or the container store, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, made it a whole lot easier with, like, you know, what they purchased. Because, you know, look, I'm probably talking marketing 101, because even myself is having to figure that out a little bit. But I love the concept of the show. Love the concept of the show. I was so moved by the show, I started going through my closet. I think I got rid of like 15 to 20 pieces of stuff that I was like, ooh, it's not bringing me joy. Ooh, toss it out. Ooh, it's not feeling me. I'm not feeling good about it. I don't need this. Really, really dissecting it. So for that, I get my hat off and I tap that off to Netflix. But downside is, if I keep having to stare at that screen even closer, trying to read her subtitles, I can't do it. I'm just like, oh, she's saying something about a box, okay? Saying something about how to fold it and something to bring you joy. I get it. You know, if she wants to come in your house and bless the house, hey, we both can pray, and because I pray every day, we can pray and have ourselves a great time. Anyway, that's my transparent moment about a show that I'm kind of watching. I thought I'd put that out there. Ladies and gentlemen, today's story is about a young lady who goes by the name of Rachel Munoz. Last year, she ranked with Spartan OCR 11th in the country. But what makes her story incredible are the challenges and triumphs she's had to overcome and is still dealing with today. May it inspire you, may it challenge you, but more importantly, I hope it changes you. This will be a two-parter. Yes, she calls me Jean throughout this interview, though my name is Mr. Jean, but she was just getting that excited and feeling her transparent moments. This interview started as a pre-interview, and next thing I know, we just jumped right into the interview portion. So take a listen and enjoy. I know for a fact a lot of people are not aware of how we've known each other or how we got to know one another. Was from the Spartan Racing Course, because you would show up at the front of the line wearing your shirt with this big bright red lipstick on. So please tell, I really want to make sure they understand, why did you choose to be standing out there dressed up, dolled up, getting ready to go for a race with red lipstick on?
Because I'm ready. I am ready for what the world wants to throw at me, and I choose to wear my red lipstick because it gives me self-confidence, it makes me smile, and I'm having fun. And I want to be right there on the front line so I can just take in all the views and not people's butts for the races.
Gotcha.
I'm just ready to take off and just go for it.
You make great impressions. I think what's also very interesting that you wear a shirt. You wear a different shirt at most races, but they're never the same, but they always have a positive statement on it.
Yes, that statement is not done yet, because in life, you are not done. That creed goes for any way you want to take it, whether you are not done going for it, whether you're not done with one more rep at the gym, if you're like sweating, pushing hard, and you're hitting that pain game. You can just tell yourself you're not done yet. I can do this. I've got one more rep. And at the Spartan races, we all feel that. We all feel that pain game. And we hit that wall, especially on the heavy carries. I see so many people want to put their bucket down. And I'll look at them and I'll smile. And I'll be like, hey, Spartan, read my shirt. What does it say? And they say, not done yet. I'm like, that is right. Now get your ass up that hill. I know you can do it. Don't put the bucket down. Because when you do, it's harder to pick back up and keep going. Push through the pain. Plus, it's a lot of fun because when you come up to those volunteers at the water station, they read it out loud. It's like cheering because you just agree. I'm not done yet.
Not done yet.
Keep going at this life. Not done yet. Let's keep going.
So with you having that shirt and saying what, not done yet, what have you not done yet that you want to accomplish?
Ooh, let's see. Are we talking bucket list here?
Yeah, give me your bucket list. Give me top five.
Top five on my bucket list. Okay. Not done yet. I still want to do base jumping. I would love to take on hang gliding, the stratosphere jump off in Las Vegas. Let's see. Two more. That's a hard one. Anything that is extreme and makes people say, I know. Let's see, anything that's extreme and makes people say, what? Because I've already done skydiving, bungee jumping, parasailing, hot air balloon ride, all that fun stuff. So we have to think, what else could I do that would make people say, what? Ziplining was a fun one.
Have you skied?
I'm down for any challenge.
Have you made yourself pure in the Lake Ashinagua from Princess Purple Rain?
No, I have not. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
We'll add that. Okay. Lake of Ashinagua? Where is that at?
I don't know. It was from the movie Purple Rain. And remember, Vanity Six jumped in the lake, and it actually wasn't that lake. So, you know, it's probably somewhere out there, but he may have just made it up. I'll have to research that.
Well, let's go to Machu Picchu as well. That would be amazing to take in that view.
Machu Picchu.
Yes. I like hiking and going up mountains too.
Okay, now, would you go to Machu Picchu with a crew of people, or would you try to do it by yourself?
I would go with a crew of people because it's fun to share life experiences. Plus, sometimes you make other people get out of their comfort zone, and then they get to start living life in ways they never thought possible.
Well, you definitely have taken folks outside of their comfort zone. I mean, just going over what you have told me about had inspired me to even want to have this conversation, because with transparency, we really want to allow people to share their story, because I believe everybody has a story. It got you this far, and I believe your story is something that will inspire others to possibly even keep reaching forward, because as you said, they're not done yet. So tell me about your childhood.
Ooh, now that's one of those stories. Well, I was born in Millington, Tennessee, on a naval base. My father was an E-7 chief petty officer of the Navy. So growing up, you know, strict manners and having respect and everything for everybody was definitely a must, because that's just how it goes when your father's an E-7 chief petty officer. There is no room for playing around or messing up. There's no drunken parties. There's none of that. You are very sheltered life. You go to sleep, you wake up, you go to school, you get good grades, and A's and B's are acceptable, C's are not. When you get a C, you're done.
Okay.
Grounded.
Well, I'm not so familiar with the armed forces. So what is a naval E-7?
E-7, Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, is a pretty high standard. That is what you get to after about 20 years.
Wow. Okay.
Standard.
Okay. Okay, so you were definitely, as you were saying, strict. It was definitely strict. And so, okay,
yes, it was.
So being under that, then, tell me about the family life.
Well, my father and my mother got divorced when I was 3. My mother chose drugs and alcohol over staying home and raising her children. So at 3 years old, we were sent to Michigan to go live with my dad's mom, because my mother called my grandma and said, "I do not want them. Come and get them."
Wow.
Referring to my older sister and I.
Okay.
So my grandma and my grandpa got on an airplane and went.
Now, what's the difference between you and your sister? What's the age difference?
There's a 4-year age difference.
Okay.
She's older.
Okay. So how old were you when you...
I was 3.
3.
And she was 7.
7. Okay. Grandma comes and picks you up. Continue.
Grandma comes with my grandpa, which was her second husband. Both of them were my lifesavers. I love them to death. To come and get me and my sister. And my grandma said, she would tell me, she's like, "Rachel, I swear to God, you girls look like you had not washed in weeks." And she's like, "The smell of that house, I did not know what I was smelling, but your grandpa was telling me that there was a bunch of drugs going on."
Oh my God.
And she's like, "Your hair was matted. You guys didn't even have shoes, nothing. It's not that we lived in poverty. It's just my mother didn't care to take care of us."
I gotcha.
So my grandma and my grandpa took us. They got us shoes and everything before we got on the airplane, and they flew us back to Michigan to go live with them while my father was out to sea, because at the time he was over in Desert Storm.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
Yes. So he was gone for about 6 months. He had just left. So my grandma went and got us, and she took care of us while everything was going on. She enrolled my sister for school, and she took care of me and my grandpa, who never had any children of his own. Now he has 2 little girls, you know, and he's grandpa, not dad. So it was a new learning curve for him.
Did you like spending time with grandpa?
They were wonderful. Oh my gosh, did I ever. My grandma would always tell me, "Rachel, you would always go up to grandpa with a book in hand, and you would always tell him, 'Can I sit on your lap, Hughes?'" With these big blue, big brown eyes and this short blonde pixie bob going on. can I sit on your lap? He was 3 years old. Take him a book and he would sit there. She's like, he would do anything for you. You were his little angel.
Wow. What was your favorite book?
I don't remember. I wish I did. I don't remember the favorite book. I just know that I would always go up to my grandpa and ask him if I could sit on his lap, use, and give him a book, and he would read to me.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then, okay, so when your dad came back to see, came back from Desert Storm, did you guys go back with him? Did he come and visit?
That is when he took on, and he took us out to Virginia, and he had met at that point what would be my stepmom. And they got married when I was 5, and she was a part of my life from the years of 5 to 19. Okay. Now, my father, I love him dearly. He did a wonderful job with us. He thought he was doing the right thing by marrying her, because he just wanted us to have somebody and some kind of stable home. That's how he was raised, to believe that you are with a woman, that's the mom, the children, you know?
Okay,
and with my stepmom came my stepsister.
Okay.
So, now, my stepmom was not a nice person, though.
Okay.
She was pretty horrible. My friends would always call me Cinderella. She mentally and physically abused me growing up.
What about your older sister?
She was pretty abusive towards her, too. I don't like to tell my sister's tales because those are hers to tell. But she was not nice to my older sister or me. She did put labels on us, actually, which I believe is a horrible thing to ever do to any one person. You cannot label a person.
Right.
You cannot tell somebody that is what they are. But she did. She told me my older sister was the jock, that my younger sister, who was 4 months younger than me, which is my stepsister,
right,
was the brainiac. And she would tell me that you're just the pretty one. You have two hearts and no brain, Rachel. You will amount to nothing. You're not going to graduate high school. You're not going to finish beauty school. You're very dumb and naive. And you have a very kind, big heart, but you're not smart.
Wow. Wow. Well, that must have just fueled your fire then.
It did. I mean, of course, growing up, and you're looking at this woman. Now, like I said, my mother left the picture when I was 3, so this woman's supposed to be my motherly figure now. But she was anything but. She was not. So now I had 2 shining examples of how not to be a mother, and that is what she taught me. She taught me in life that people can say things to tear you down. There is always going to be somebody who's going to try and label you and tell you who you are, but that's not who you are, and don't ever believe that. And no matter what in life, I always tell my daughter, baby, there's going to be people out there that are going to tell you things about yourself, that are going to try and tear you down. And here's the problem with that. It's not even about you. What it is it's about them. They are indirectly making it about you, but it's not about you. It's really about them. Hold on a second. Sorry. I'm trying to think.
No, take your time.
What it is in life, people want to tear you down because it makes them feel better about themselves. And if it makes them feel better about themselves, then I feel pity for them. That is what I do. I feel pity for them if it makes them feel better about themselves to tear you down. And that is what made my stepmom feel better about herself, was tearing down a child. And that says she was going through something worse in life than I was. So if anything, I took it all, and I said, I'm going to rise from this one day. And I would tell myself, I'd look at myself in the mirror as a little girl, and I told myself, I promise you, Rachel, you will succeed. You'll graduate from high school, and you're going to graduate from beauty school, and you're going to have the career that you want. And when you have a little girl one day, you're going to love her, and you're going to make her feel wanted in this world and just be the best thing she can be, because that is what she is. Because just any child that's given to us in this world is a wonderful thing.
I agree.
I don't ever feel pity for what I went through. If anything, I look at it as it gave me strength, and it sculpted me into the person that I am today. Because you can take a shitty situation, and you can make it a shitty life, or you can make it a better one. It's your choice.
Your choice.
Like I said, I'm not done yet. And that's not where I'm going. I'm going to keep fighting for a good life.
By all means. But now, with all the success and the obstacles that you overcame, it led you to doing Spartan races, led you to doing OCRs. Like, where did this journey become?
Well, that all started, I did my first race in 2015. Now, back in 2010, I'm going to rewind the clock just for a second.
Rewind!
2010 was 2 years. My daughter was already a year and a half to 2 years old. And of course, having a baby, you gain the baby weight, and then you lose it after the child. And then I gained it all back. So I stepped on the scale one day, and it was over 200. I didn't even let the scale finish because it got over 200, and I was scared of that number. I didn't feel comfortable.
Okay, now how tall are you?
5'5".
Okay, 5'5", 200 pounds.
Yep. It kept going, too. I didn't want to see the rest of the numbers.
Okay.
I was
all
embarrassed.
Right, continue.
I was like, ah. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I didn't even fit in my size 13 pants that I always wore growing up. I didn't even fit in those anymore. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't fit in these. I had bought a new shirt. I thought I looked cute, and I looked at the pictures for my husband's birthday at Universal Studios. And I was like, oh, my God, I look like I'm 3 months pregnant, and my daughter's a year and a half to 2 years old. I don't fit in any of my clothes. The scale says I'm over 200. And I remember when I was 16, and I was like 160, they had already told me I was pre-diabetic. Now, diabetes runs in my family, and so does heart problems and high blood pressure. So I was like, okay, that's it, Rachel. It's time to make a change because you have a little girl right here, and I am not going to explain to her one day why I have to shoot myself with insulin. What am I going to tell her? Because I can't control what I'm putting in my mouth? No. I need to make a choice, and I choose to be healthy and live a healthy lifestyle and teach her to do the same because I want her to live life to the fullest. So I set out on a mission, and I lost over 75 pounds that year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have kept it off since. And after my grandma passed away in 2010, now that was the one who took me and raised me for those 6 months. That was my mother figure. I lost her to cancer. That left a hole in my heart. Let me tell you, Jean, that one, that still makes me want to cry. Because she was my person. She was the one I would call every single morning when I would get up and get on the elliptical that I had in my home gym. I wouldn't watch TV. I wouldn't listen to music. I would call my grandma and talk to her while I worked out for over an hour every morning. And we would talk about anything and everything. She was my person. And when she passed away, I left a hole. Yeah, I went through a little bit of depression. I was sad. You know, and I kept pushing on because I know my daughter needed me to be strong, but, you know, and my friends would encourage me to go do stuff. And my one friend told me, you know what, you're fit. She's like, let's go do a Spartan race. Now, this is 5 years later, and I was still finding myself. You know, I kept gaining some weight, losing it, gaining some, but I never quite found that rhythm. And then when she introduced me to Spartan races, that's when I found that rhythm and got better and got happier again. And then it gave me something to keep pushing forward for. I went and joined the gym after that, and I started pushing harder, and I had something to train for and something, some kind of mindset to keep just going on. You know?
Wow.
It gave me more strength than I had, and it made me find more than I even thought I could possibly imagine.
Well, I have to admit, I mean, not to toot your own horn, but I will. As the 2018 season wrapped up, you were 11th. You placed 11th last year in the what age group?
Age group this year, this past year for 2018, 30 years old. I was 31 last year. So the 30 to 39 age group.
30 to 39 age group, 11th in the country. That says a lot. And how many times did you podium last year?
Out of 15 races, I podiumed 13 times.
Okay, say that again. Say it again. Out of how many races you did what?
15. And I took podium 13 times.
Okay. Now, out of those, now I'm not saying every one of those was, you know, first place. We're not saying that. No. I'm just saying that out of me being there at those races, I know usually there's up to 70, between 70 to 100 women that may be running in the female age group category. So that means out of every single race, that's 15 races you did, 13 out of those, you were in the top three.
Yep.
All right. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the reasons why I felt we need to hear her story, because it came from heartbreak to triumph. Through all of her trials, she never gave up. But my main question for you is, with those 15 races that you ran last year and the 13 races that you won, what are some of the gold nuggets that you learned along the way by running with those other ladies?
I learned that triumph comes from within, that you cannot see progress if you don't put in the work. You really have to go and train yourself. And remember, what works for one person doesn't work for you, because everybody
right.
has their different training schedules, their different meal preps, their different fuel and everything. But what works for one person might not quite work for you. And you need to find that rhythm that does work for you. The whole carb loading
right.
and hydrating pre-races, it all goes on your level, not their level, but your level. What's best for
okay,
you?
Okay, so well, what is your level? Like, what do you do to gear yourself up for a race?
I just eat a clean diet. And the week prior to, I go extra clean, but add a little extra protein. And for the races, I eat a healthy meal prior. I don't do the whole carb load thing. It doesn't work for me. I don't like running with that big gut full. To me, that makes me uncomfortable. But I have a sensitive
okay.
gut to begin with. So, and I don't do a whole
okay.
crazy hydration thing beforehand. But I do include salt the night before in my food. I typically go for some kind of ahi tuna salad, and I make sure that I have some soy sauce with it. I don't know. I tell people I feel like the soy sauce, the salt in it, helps you gain that little extra, helps with the extra water, because the salt always makes you get the extra water going. Like when you're when you're cramping on the course, people always say take a salt tablet. I don't know. I feel like
right.
it might do something. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It works for me.
Okay. That works for you.
And I go to the gym typically. Like, I go to the gym every day. But some days I hit it harder than others. If I have the time, I'll do 2 hours, and I'll do either arms one day or legs the next. I always include 10 minutes or more of abs, and I always do an hour of cardio.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's definitely, that's stepping up to the athletic abilities of so many, which there's always reasons why I ask, because I don't think a lot of people understand that when I make the statement, I work hard at making it look easy. Well, you work hard at making it look easy out there. So with OCR happening and it's growing, what are the changes are you most looking forward to?
I am looking forward to how they keep saying 2020 is going to be the year of Olympic. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I really honestly am.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing how the things change. I know a lot of people get frustrated, and I will not lie, I am one of them, for how Spartan kept changing how to qualify for Tahoe's this year. Everybody's like, well, it's not the same as last year. How do you do it? How do you do it? And I was like, that is frustrating sometimes as an athlete and a working mom, because I have my daughter, and I'm a working mom, and I'm a wife. And right now I'm still
right.
technically a caregiver with my hubby because of his accident that he had last April.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We'll definitely get into that.
Yes, we will. That will touch on a little bit. But with all of that, I have to plan around all the doctor appointments, the school schedule for my daughter, my own work schedule. It is hard to find time to go to these races sometimes, and the traveling that is involved, it makes it hard to pick and choose. And when you have to try and figure out how to qualify, it makes it 10 times harder. But I love seeing the changes. I love that they have, that they are pushing the rules harder and the regulations harder. I actually do enjoy that. I did see that change when we did the OCR championships in Castaic Lake. I enjoyed the fact that we didn't have the burpees there. That was fun. I do like the burpees though. But for that one race, it was interesting to see the changes because we didn't have burpees. We didn't have the bucket carry. We didn't have the sandbag carry. They cut out the spear throw. I mean, they made it so it wasn't quite a Spartan race, but it was still fun and it was still challenging. So it was interesting to see. Now, I am looking forward to the new Spartan races with the new obstacles. That will be interesting. And I do appreciate the burpees because that gives people like me who aren't quite the fastest at running a chance to catch up when the girls can't do the grip challenges, because I've got the grips. Thanks to Emily, because she suggested the grip slings. Emily Smith, my friend, she told me, get those grip slings. That will help you with your grip for the rig. Ever since then, I haven't failed a rig. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Now, I know last year, Joe had put it out. He was thinking about increasing the burpees. What would be the magic number for you for them to increase them to?
I personally like it at 30, but I mean, if you have to increase it, you could add on 10 more and it's give or take. I mean, we are there for a challenge, right, people? That is what the spirit's about. We're there for a challenge. So if you want to increase it,
we are there for a challenge.
If you want to increase it, you know, you did earn it because you didn't pass the obstacle. And look at it this way. If you don't want to do the burpees, then go do a tough mudder where you can walk around the obstacle. They are a penalty. I'm sorry, but I appreciate the burpees because there is a reason why you are a Spartan race. You want the challenge. So accept it, smile, and appreciate. Yes, they suck, but accept the suck and keep that smile on your face and tell yourself what's written on my shirt. You're not done yet. Keep going. Keep pushing through the pain and get out there and go. I know, shots fired, but I mean, just saying, the tough mutters, I don't do them because they are just for fun. And I do appreciate fun as much as the others, but I appreciate Spartan because they hold everything to a higher standard. That is why there is a penalty. And it's called a penalty because you didn't pass. So work harder and go.
I will send that portion to them. I'll definitely have to send that portion to them for you. But then, okay, with all that being said, what pushes you to race? Really, what pushes you to want to get out there? Like you said, do the traveling, do all this training. What pushes you?
What pushes me is just, it gets me out of my comfort zone. It gets me out of going to the stores, doing the regular wife duties, going to work and being a hairstylist. It pushes me to get out of my comfort zone. I love the races because of the thrill and the exhilaration, pushing my limits and stepping outside my comfort zone. I love all the challenges it gives me and how it physically and mentally will challenge you. I'm not going to say that I don't do burpees. I've done burpees this year. Okay, Big Bear this past year in 2018 sucked. I loved it in 2017, but 2018, Trailmaster Hammond, I don't know. I psyched myself out watching his little posts on Instagram about how this big hill, I psyched myself out. It was one of those tough courses. I was supposed to do Beast both days, but I only did it the one day. I had too much on my mind. I stepped outside my comfort zone. I pushed. I embraced the suck, but I don't know. I hurt my hand coming down the rope. I had climbed to the top, just missed the bell, lost my grip on my S-hook, slid all the way down, ripped the skin off my middle finger. And I was like, oh, rope burn. But I didn't stop. I looked at the bell because I was right there before and the girl was watching me, so I didn't get the bell. So I bit the skin off my finger, climbed up the rope, hit the bell, went over to the slip wall. And I did the rolling mud, did the slip wall, ate shit at the top of the slip wall, got the biggest bruise I've ever had on my arm. And then I kept going, and then I come to the rig, and I see the hand trickling down my finger, just like the blood trickling down my hand. And I'm like, oh God, this rig is going to suck. But Rachel, the finish line's right there. Your shirt says you're not done yet. You've got it in you. Take your time, believe in yourself, and do it. And the feeling you get when you hit the bell on the rig with blood dripping down to your elbow, knowing that you accomplished it, is amazing. And saying you can do that,
wow,
is just even that much more fun.
That was part one of my interview with Rachel Munoz. Part two, we are going to have some more of what pushes her, her husband's story, rapid fire questions, why she likes the Titan game so much, and what children lack. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. Every week I'm actually trying to get better, to present you guys something that's from the heart, more importantly, that you can relate to. Now Gary Vee says it best, so I'm going to quote him. Sharing these thoughts is like oxygen to me. So if they resonate with you, if you feel that this can benefit somebody, subscribe, share, more importantly, like all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, thelivexperienceonline.com. And I look forward to speaking and sharing with you guys real soon. Be well.